Chapter 24. Dressed in heavy cloaks against the early morning chill, Grisina, Edric, and I hurried along the path to the swamp, lighting our way with torches. The sky was already growing brighter when we reached the pond. It wasn't a terribly large pond, but it had always been my favorite. I loved the stand of cattails at the far end, the willows trailing their lance-shaped leaves in the water, and the wash of gravel where I had often stood to survey my own small kingdom. Haywood was floating on his back in the morning mist, seeming as if he didn't have a care in the world. Grisina wasn't about to wait any longer. Holding out her hands, she called, "Come to me, my darling. Come to me, my friend. When you have sipped the drink I hold, your feral life will end." As if in a trance, Haywood rolled over onto his belly and swam toward Grisina, his liquid brown eyes never leaving her face. Uncovering the bowl, Grisina crouched by the water's edge. When Haywood's paws touched the mud of the bank, she tilted the bowl, pouring its contents into his open mouth. Haywood blinked up at Grisina. Gradually, more mist rose from the water around him, and his edges began to blur. The dark, furry form that was Haywood grew longer, his head and body larger, his tail disappearing altogether. I glanced at Grisina. Although her eyes had been troubled just moments before, they were now lit with the purest joy I had ever seen. She gazed into Haywood's eyes. Her face softened. As the mist dissolved, I could see that Haywood was human again. A middle-aged man, he was dressed in clothes 20 years out of style. His sandy brown hair was tinged with gray, his brown eyes warm and friendly. From the way he looked at Grisina, it was plain that his memory had returned and that he still adored my aunt. They reached toward each other with trembling hands. Their faces seemed to glow with happiness, and I felt my throat tighten when they leaned toward each other and kissed. I was still watching them when a breeze sprang up, chasing away the last of the mist and bringing with it a shower of rose petals, pink, red, purple, and every shade in between. They drifted around us in a gentle blanket, filling the air with their sweet scent. I was brushing a few clinging petals from my face when I felt something hard rub against my cheek. I glanced at my hand and was startled to find Grisina's green leaf ring on my finger. "Why is this?" I began, and then I heard someone gasp. I turned back to Grisina and Haywood. The breeze had died, leaving them covered with petals. Jerking his hands away from Grisina, Haywood struggled to back up, but his feet slid out from under him, and he landed in deeper water with a splash. I wondered what could have caused the look of horror on his face. And then Grisina turned around. The petals fell away, and I knew. No longer the beautiful woman I had known my entire life, she had become just like my grandmother. The curse we'd all feared, the curse the fairy had put on my ancestor, Hazel, had taken its toll, turning Grisina's glorious auburn hair stringy and black, her well-shaped nose so long that it almost reached her jutting chin. She had more hairy warts on her face than I had toes on my feet, and her fingers were bent and gnarled. "It was the rose petals," I thought. "Grandmother must have added that to the spell she cast on Haywood. She's had her way after all."
"What are you pea-brains gawking at?" Grisina asked, her voice as scratchy as a rusty knife.
"You've changed," I squeaked.
"Of course I've changed, Flybreath. I've gotten a whole lot smarter. The wedding's off. I wouldn't marry Furboy if he was the last wizard in the swamp. Now go away and stop bothering me. I've got to get out of these disgusting clothes and into something more suitable."
Grisina stormed off in the direction of the castle. dumbstruck, we watched her stomp away, then turned and looked at each other.
"What just happened?"
asked Haywood, water dribbling from his clothes as he slogged his way out of the pond. "Where's my Grisina? I thought that was Grisina, but then that hag... Did that woman do something to her? Is she in danger?"
"No, I don't think so," I said, and gave him a brief description of the curse.
His expression changed from horrified to woeful as I explained what must have happened.
"That woman was your Grisina, at least until the curse took hold. I don't think she's anyone's Grisina now."
"There must be something we can do about it. You're training to be a witch, and I was studying wizardry before Olivine changed me. Between the two of us, we should be able to think of something. What did the curse say, exactly?"
"That's just it. The only one who would know is the fairy who said it. But we don't even know who that was. It's hopeless."
The enormity of what had happened finally began to sink in. The woman who had been the kindest, most caring person in my life was gone, replaced by a horrible crone. Fighting back tears, I could feel my throat close up, making it hard to speak.
"I'm sorry that this happened. If I hadn't insisted that we see my grandmother,
I'd still be an otter, and Grisina and I would have spent the rest of our lives trying to find a solution. And as soon as we did, Grisina would have turned nasty anyway." Haywood grimaced and rubbed the back of his neck, turning his head from side to side.
"You'll be stiff for a while," I said, "but it won't be long before you're back to normal."
"Normal, huh? For 23 years, normal was being an otter. It wasn't a bad life, either. The only thing I really missed was Grisina."
"I know. We never thought that my grandmother would go to such lengths."
"Olivine must have hated me even more than I realized, although I don't know why. If I could get my hands on her now, though, I'd give her plenty of reason.
That would only make things worse. Why don't you go to the castle? Cook will give you something to eat, and I'll talk to my parents. I'm sure we can find a place for you to stay until you decide what you want to do."
Haywood took a step, his legs shaking beneath him.
"Thanks," he said.
"This is going to take some getting used to." While I probably should have helped Haywood get to the castle, I couldn't make myself go back just yet. I was angry at my grandmother for her spell and at Grisina for succumbing to it, but mostly I was angry at myself. Turning back to the pond, I glared at Edric, although I knew that none of it was his fault.
"I can't believe this," I said. "Why did I have to be such an interfering busybody who couldn't stay out of other people's business? If only I hadn't been so convincing when Grisina wanted to give up. If only I hadn't encouraged her to ask my grandmother for help. If only I hadn't brought them back together in the first place. I should have known my grandmother would do something like this."
"What about your father?" asked Edric, a puzzled expression on his face. "Isn't Grisina going to help him?"
"Oh, no," I said. "She was supposed to go now, wasn't she? What are we going to do?"
"What do you mean? Just because she looks different, it doesn't mean that she's lost her ability to..."
"That's true," I said, and began to run. "I'm sure she's just forgotten."
When I saw my aunt up ahead, using a stick to whack the heads off daisies while she walked, I shouted,
"Grisina, wait for me!"
Instead of waiting, my aunt began to walk faster. I jerked my hem from the grasp of clutching brambles and hurried after Grisina, finally catching up with her on the path that led into one of the kitchen gardens.
"What do you want?" she asked, glaring down the length of her long nose at me.
"My father," I gasped, out of breath from running. "You have to go help him."
Grisina sniffed loudly.
"No, I don't. It's no longer my responsibility. I don't have to do anything I don't want to."
But the Green Witch...
That's right. It's up to the Green Witch, and that's you now. See this ring?
She asked, grabbing my wrist and twisting it to get a better look at my hand.
It means that you have to protect the kingdom.
Her eyes glittered when she shoved my hand away and started up the path.
But I don't know what to do,
I wailed. Without stopping or turning around, she shouted,
You'll figure it out.
Edric caught up with me while I stood open-mouthed, watching Grisina stomp off.
Is she going to help your father?
He asked. I shook my head. No. She says that I'm the Green Witch now, so it's up to me. I held out my hand and showed him the ring. Edric's jaw dropped.
You're the Green Witch? You've got to be kidding.
The dumbfounded look on his face was almost insulting. It's not that hard to believe. I'm sure I can do it. I just have to figure out how.
You mean she didn't tell you?
No, I said, and I don't think the job comes with a list of instructions. Just give me a moment to think.
Sure.
Edric stepped back a pace and raised both hands in the air as if surrendering.
Go right ahead.
I didn't know what I should do. Because of me, my father had been left without any magical defense. I was sure that Grisina would have known exactly what steps to take before she'd changed, but even if she still knew, she wasn't about to tell me. And what about my grandmother? She had seemed awfully pleased with my improved magical abilities. Maybe she really had been testing me. Maybe she was trying to see if I was good enough to be the next Green Witch. She had to have known what would happen when Grisina kissed Haywood. So maybe Grandmother wanted to see what I was capable of doing before letting her daughter have her way. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't been good enough. Yet the fact that the ring had ended up on my finger meant a great deal to me. Even so, just because I was the new Green Witch didn't mean that I knew how to help my father. If only I had some help, I thought. And suddenly I knew what to do. I smiled, glad that I hadn't had time to clean out my pouch. He said to call on him if I ever needed to, I said, reaching into the cloth bag. Edric frowned.
Who said that?
Taking the broken fragment of dragon claw in my left hand, I yelled,
Grumblebelly! You don't have to shout, said Edric. It was just a simple question.
I wasn't shouting at you. I was calling him. I hope it doesn't take him long to get here. I tried to wait patiently, but Edric kept muttering things like,
Stupid idea, and waste of time. Listen, he said finally, why don't I get Bright Country? The sooner we start...
There was a clap like thunder, and Grumblebelly dropped out of the sky, his shadow gliding across the pond. His leathery wings made a rustling sound as he landed beside us.
When I said you could call on me, I didn't mean right away. Dragons need to sleep sometime, you know.
I didn't think I'd have to call you this soon, but everything has changed. I explained that I'd become the Green Witch and that my father was counting on me. And you were the only one I could think of to ask for help.
What am I, the Invisible Prince? Muttered Edric. You could have asked me.
The dragon sighed.
I'll do what I can. Is he coming too?
Using a blunted claw, Grumblebelly rapped Edric on the chest, nearly knocking him to the ground.
Of course, I said, climbing up onto the dragon's scaly shoulder.
I always need Edric.